Before she became the girl from nowhere, the one who walked in, the first and last and only, who lived 1,000 years, she was just a little girl in Iowa named Amy. Amy Harper Belafonte. The day Amy was born, her mother, Jeanette, was 19 years old. Jeanette named her baby Amy for her own mother, who died when Jeanette was little, and gave her the middle name Harper for Harper Lee, the lady who'd written To Kill a Mockingbird, Jeanette's favorite book. Truth be told, the only book she'd made it all the way through in high school. Amy's father was a man who came in one day to the restaurant where Jeanette had waited tables since she turned 16, a diner everyone called the Box because it looked like one, like a big chrome shoebox sitting off the county road, backed by fields of corn and beans, nothing else around for miles except a self-serve car wash, the kind where you had to put coins into the machine and do all the work yourself. The man, whose name was Bill Reynolds, sold combines and harvesters, big things like that, and he was a sweet talker who told Jeanette as she poured his coffee and then later, again and again, how pretty she was, how he liked her coal black hair and hazel eyes and slender wrists. Said it all in a way that sounded like he meant it, not the way boys in school had, as if the words were just something that needed to get said along the way to her letting them do as they liked. He had a big car, a new Pontiac, with a dashboard that glowed like a spaceship and leather seats creamy as butter. She could have loved that man, she thought, really and truly loved him. But he stayed in town only a few days and then went on his way. When she told her father what had happened, he said he wanted to go looking for him, make him live up to his responsibilities. But what Jeanette knew and didn't say was that Bill Reynolds was married, a married man. He had a family in Lincoln, all the way clean over in Nebraska. He'd even showed her the pictures in his wallet of his kids, two little boys in baseball uniforms, Bobby and Billy. So no matter how many times her father asked who the man was that had done this to her, she didn't say. She didn't even tell him the man's name. The baby came in summer, the girl she'd wanted, and named Amy Harper Belafonte. There seemed no point in using the name Reynolds, the last name of a man Jeanette guessed she'd never see again, and now that Amy was here, no longer wanted to. And Belafonte, you couldn't do better than a name like that. It meant beautiful fountain, and that's what Amy was. Jeanette fed and rocked and changed her, and when Amy cried in the middle of the night because she was wet or hungry or didn't like the dark, Jeanette stumbled down the hall to her room, no matter what the hour was or how tired she felt from working at the Box, to pick her up and tell her she was there, she would always be there. You cry and I'll come running. That's a deal between us, you and me, forever and ever, my little Amy Harper Belafonte. Then Amy was 3 and Jeanette was alone. Her father had died. A heart attack, they told her, or else a stroke. It wasn't the kind of thing anyone needed to check. She still had her job at the Box, but the money wasn't enough now. Not for Amy or any of it, and her brother, in the Navy somewhere, didn't answer her letters. God invented Iowa, he always said, so people could leave it and never come back. She wondered what she would do. She paid the oil man what she could and turned the thermostat down to 50 to make it last. See, Amy, honey, it's like a big camping trip we're on, she said as she stuffed the little girl's hands into mittens and wedged a hat onto her head. There now, it's not so cold, not really. It's like an adventure. They slept together under a pile of old quilts, the room so icy their breath fogged the air over their faces. She took a job at night, cleaning up at the high school, leaving Amy with a neighbor lady. But when the woman took sick and had to go into the hospital, Jeanette had to leave Amy alone. She explained to Amy what to do. Stay in bed, don't answer the door, just close your eyes and I'll be home before you know it. But then she made the mistake one night of telling someone about this, another woman on the work crew, when the two of them had stepped out for a smoke. Jeanette had never liked smoking at all and didn't want to spend the money, but the cigarettes helped her stay awake, and without a smoke break, there was nothing to look forward to, just more toilets to scrub and halls to be mopped. She told the woman, whose name was Alice, not to tell anyone. She knew she could get in trouble leaving Amy alone like that. But, of course, that's just what Alice did. She went straight to the superintendent, who fired Jeanette on the spot. Leaving a child like that ain't right, he told her in his office by the boilers. You count your lucky stars, I'm not calling the county on you. She took her last check and drove home in her crappy old car, the Kia she'd bought in high school when it was already 6 years old and falling apart so fast she could practically see the nuts and bolts bouncing on the pavement in her rearview mirror. And when she stopped at the Quick Mart to buy a pack of Capris, and then the engine wouldn't start up again, she started to cry. She couldn't make herself stop crying for half an hour. The problem was the battery. A new one cost her $83 at Sears, but by then she'd missed a week of work and lost her job at the box, too. She had just enough money left to leave, packing up their things in a couple of grocery sacks.